Welcome to Sunny FM, where it's all shining here in our studio today. I'm Leanne.
And I'm Chloe, and we are your hosts for today. It's been a while since I've done an episode with you, actually.
I think it's about like a month, right?
Because I've been doing episodes with Damien and Eldon, and I'm like, I'm missing Leanne.
I mean, it's okay. At least I can take a break of everything. And it's funny how like I said that it's shining today, but we're actually doing everything in nighttime, so.
Nobody needs to know. All right. So for this episode, we are going to be touching on cybersecurity and the future and importance of technology.
And so, you know, how are we going to talk about all this thing without inviting Benjamin and Nunes from Sunway Tech Club? So let's just give them a little bit of welcome. Oh, hi.
Hello. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm doing good. Doing good. But pretty tired because of uni. But it's
I think we're
expected
all tired.
At this point.
Yeah.
So just want to ask you guys, because now you guys are a Sunway Tech Club, and we saw like a lot of quite a lot of interesting events that you guys host. And the thing is, I saw a few of the events where there has a lot of hacking words in it, and I think one
yeah
I would just wanted to ask, like, what is the whole Hacktoberfest, like, what do you guys usually do in the event?
Okay,
because it sounds really cool.
Do you mind explaining?
Sure. So, you know hacking, right? You know ethical hacking and all? That's got nothing to do with Hacktoberfest. It's completely different.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Okay, we got that cleared out now.
All right. So, Hacktoberfest is basically a celebration of open source software, right? So, what's open source? It's basically software that's open to everybody. Let me give an example. For Android, right? Android is open source. It means anyone can contribute and add a new function. But if it's iOS, it's closed. So that's why, like, there are lots of, how you say, malware and fake apps. It's because anyone can make some code, make an app, and put it onto the App Store. But for iOS, it's more restricted, you know? So it's not really open to everyone. So Hacktoberfest is just people celebrating, you know, open source software and the numerous benefits it has.
I see. But what about, like...
Not gonna lie, I think Leanne and I thought it was actual hacking.
See, I think, like...
I'm pretty sure the organizers just, like, called it Hacktoberfest because it's in October and they want it to sound, like, really fancy. And they just threw it in there, but it has nothing to do whatsoever with hacking.
See, but the thing is, even though you say that it's for the sake of, like, October, that's why it's October. The thing is, there's also other things where, like, you have hackathons, and then there's, like, I think recently you have this new event that it's called the ABCs of hackathon, is it?
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, what do you guys, what would the event be about for that one?
So, for that one, hackathons are basically... It's got the word hack again, but it's got nothing to do with, like, infiltrating a system. So, like, for hackathons, it's about solving a problem, usually, you know, make an app in, like, 2 days or do this in 2 days. So you're solving a specific problem. And I've noticed in Malaysia, hackathons are very popular, like crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So like, SEC noticed this, and then we're like, hey, let's organize an event so that we can sort of like teach people and introduce them to hackathons. Because I joined hackathons without knowing anything. And the expectations they had for us were so high. You know, make an app, have this business idea, do this and do that.
Mm-hmm. So that's all about what hackathon is, Larry.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, like initially, right, because me and Chloe were both not really like a tech person, so I don't know why the moment we just think of like technology, we would just think of like the whole hacking things. And to be honest, we're gonna talk about hacking too, so
yeah.
Okay.
I hope that's not like a wrong choice of topics later.
No,
But
it's still within the realm of tech, so also it'll be interesting.
I mean, true.
Yeah, also there's one thing that we realized from your Instagram bio, like the page for Sunway Tech Club. What is... I can't even pronounce the word. It's such a mouthful. Technopreneurship. Am I saying it correctly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you are, actually.
Am I pronouncing it correctly? All right, yeah. What is that?
So yeah, technopreneurship is basically what you can guess it to be. Technopreneurship is the marriage of technology and entrepreneurship. So the reason it's in our bio is because one of the missions of, or like the mission of Sunway Tech Club in general, is to bridge the gap between Sunway students and like tech students, the tech industry, as well as technopreneurship. Because we realize in like a lot of startup cultures, starts with like technologies, and a lot of people coming up with ideas for different applications, different like technologies, and basically technopreneurship is like the word we use to like categorize these people who want to basically like start up their own company or start up their own ideas based on technology. That's pretty much what it is.
But actually, like, I think from what I got from you is technology with a mixture of entrepreneurship, right?
Yes.
So does it mean that people who are doing this technopreneurship, is it mostly, it's mostly technology related, as in like they often make websites kind of thing, or?
It softwares. Pretty much could be anything. It could, yeah, like different softwares, different applications and websites. And yeah, it's just, I guess, to put it in a sense, it's just like, I guess, a small tech startup company. Those are the tech, your technopreneurs.
Do you guys involve like hardware, or do you guys just mainly focus
on software?
For now,
we mainly focus on software because it's very hard to find a lot of people that's very good with hardware within Sunway University, because we don't really have an engineering course or an engineering degree. So yeah, we want to stick with what we know and the knowledge we can impart, which is mostly software.
That's true,
related.
Yeah.
I see. Because I don't know about this, like, because I know that students, I mean, like what we mentioned just now, right? When we think of, let's say, probably our, how do I say this? I am trying
what
to find
trying
the
word.
I'm trying to
girl.
Find the word. Okay, like for example, right, some students that are not so techy kind of people, when they face any issues on their laptop, I think you guys might experience some misconceptions by other students, right, where they feel like, you know, as long as there's something problem with their laptop, and immediately they would just think, oh, I'm just going to find an IT student, I'm just going to find a computer science student, I'm just going to find, like, networking students. Yeah. So, like, how often do you guys, like, experience all these kinds of things?
For me, very often, actually. And there even memes about it, and the memes are true. Like, growing up, I was always the repairman, electrician, and the tech support. Yeah. Even though I didn't know anything, I'll just like unplug this, plug it back in, turn it off, turn it on. And sometimes it works. Sometimes it just doesn't. You know?
I see. What about Benjamin? Have you experienced this?
Yes, it's pretty much the same with me and my family. My friends will be like, man, there's something wrong with the Wi-Fi again, and then I just turn off the router and turn it back on, and then like just wait a while and it works. And like, oh my god, you're so smart. I'm like, no, I just turned it off and on.
They'll just call for you for any help that is related to technology.
I think people who are not so techie, they would view these tech students as like the gods and everything, where they can just solve anything.
Yes, the gods.
Nice. We're lazy people. We're very lazy people.
Sorry?
We're very lazy people.
Usually, yeah.
Yes.
But, like, as mentioned just now when Chloe asked about the whole technopreneurship, right? Because I think now it's more... Is it called predominant? It's more prominent? Where, like, after the whole lockdown has happened, technology is the most important assets that's going through with our lives?
I mean, technology is pretty much very essential for the businesses nowadays, because we can't even go to certain shops to get our stuff because they're closed.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that, you know, technology is so essential for business? That's like one question that, you know, everyone probably has on their mind. Because nowadays, like, you see like people starting in their own little shops on Instagram, mm-hmm. on like websites, mm-hmm. and stuff like that.
Actually, do those consider technopreneurship? Like people who wanted to do online business and then they do like website designing on all those kind of things?
In a way, you could call them technopreneurs as well, especially if they are very well versed with the technology. And I guess they built, like you said, like if they built their own websites and stuff like that, that you could consider them technopreneurs.
But have you guys create your own kind of business? Have you guys ever thought of that?
Yeah, actually. Like, the problem is that I can think of an idea, then tomorrow I can realize, oh, it exists and it's already been there in the market, you know? So it's really demotivating. Like, some examples, I want to make Spotify, something like Spotify, but for mm-hmm. some specific region of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But you then realize there's Spotify, there's YouTube, and there's all these other apps.
I mean, you can kind of create your, like, a small business kind of thing. Like, even though it's somewhat similar, but maybe you might, I don't know, think up of a new element in it and just slowly expand from there.
Yeah, it could work. But, you know, it's like, if you read the news, right?
No harm in trying.
Yeah, there's no harm in trying. But, like, the scary thing is that there are these antitrust allegations towards big tech giants, you know, especially when there's a new, you know, young company that's doing well. They sort of use their power and influence to indirectly make things hard for them.
Because, like, mm-hmm. they want to control the whole tech industry by themselves kind of thing?
Yeah, like, what do they call it? A monopoly in business, basically.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, this is kind of, you can see it very often in not just this kind of technology industry, but it's also in the business and the marketing industry, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much anywhere where there's money to be made.
Yeah, that's
just gonna happen.
So, like, I know that for a lot of, say, online business, for example, online shopping, they have, like, a lot of websites where you have to insert personal information, I think, in the whole...
I think, I think what Leanne's trying to say, like, you know, there's, like, websites where it's, like, pre-made websites for people to register their business, to use it to sell stuff or start their blog, right? So there's certain websites where it's, like, I'm not sure, Wix is a pre-made website, right? Because they have, like, templates for you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
For people who don't know how to create their, websites and shops from scratch, like the whole.
And like for my course, my lecturer, I think I can, Mr. Leon. Hi, Mr. Leon, if you're seeing this. Because I am in communication course, and a lot of times if we were to create a website, we would often use like Wix to do so. But I think there are certain websites that are not really safe, is it?
Unsafe.
So, like,
where? Because you do hear stories about, like, people's credit card or debit card info being stolen by, you know, certain websites. And people who, like, purchase stuff off, like, the shops from pre-made websites like Wix, sometimes their information might get stolen by, you know, hackers that hack into the whole system.
Mm.
Is it really common?
I think
because we do hear about like stories about this.
Well, I think like it's more common to the big tech companies, maybe, because the more money you make, the more likely you're a target, basically, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially like if you read the news, it's always this happened, this got hacked, you know. money has been lost.
It's usually the big companies, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But then how does a website be unsafe? Like, because website usually involves also a lot of, correct me if I'm wrong, if there's like, you have to do programming and coding with the website, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a way where you are able to recognize what kind of website is safe, what kind of website is not safe?
Actually, there's a very easy way
actually,
to
right, I'm
tell.
Not
Oh, no, there's a bit of lag, but yeah. Anyways, I think I'll go first. But yeah, there's a really easy way to tell if a website is safe or not. So like, you know how like when you enter a website, let's say you go on YouTube, it's HTTPS like and then the :// youtube.com. If a website doesn't have the S on it, it's pretty much not safe for you to give your private information onto the website. So there are some websites that is just HTTP without the S. The S in HTTP stands for secure. So basically, if you see any websites, like any banking websites, which doesn't have that S in their, like, in the website, in the URL, those are websites you should not trust.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
I actually didn't know that part. Because...
Yes, same. The more we know.
I often see there's a lot of... I don't really take notice with the whole HTTPS part. I think...
And
actually,
another thing...
Yeah, I wanted to add, like, I'm not sure whether it's... If it's my... what do you call it? Internet browser. But, like, on Firefox, they actually warn you that that specific website is not secure. And if you want to proceed with entering the website kind of thing. Yeah, they have that on some, like, browsers.
I see. Nunes was about to say something just now.
So, like...
What were you going to say?
Yeah.
So another thing you need to look at is the purpose of you visiting that specific website. You know, there are some very fishy websites that you know that, you know, I might get a virus here. So if that pops into your head, especially when it's about piracy, you know, when you're downloading something you're not supposed to be downloading, there's a high risk of you being infected by a virus. And another thing that was mentioned was that usually every... you know, banking website, they've got like a digital certificate to say, hey, I'm a bank and I'm legit, right? So every browser is gonna like literally show you that, hey, this website is legit. That's why it's got the HTTPS thing. But then if it doesn't do that, Firefox would be like, yo, dude, there's something wrong with this guy. You know, don't proceed.
Yeah.
It's because that digital certificate is either it expired or it's not there.
But what about, like, cookies?
Are they harmless?
Website cookies.
You know how some websites, they have... when you visit a website, they would... We might receive a notification of, you know... You have to accept the cookies and all those kind of things. If you don't accept the cookies, you wouldn't... be able to visit that website. Like, is it harmful in any way if you are to accept the cookies?
No, it's not harmful. It's just like when you open Shopee and you search for, like, let's say something like a shirt, then you open like Instagram, then you see an ad for a shirt, then you open like a website and you see an ad for a shirt. It's just cookies being sent, like, hey, this guy wants a shirt. And then it's like, okay, this guy wants a shirt. Okay, so when you accept cookies, it's just a transfer from this person. Like, hey, sell him this. So that's how it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Cookies basically identify your profile for, like, I guess, marketing and advertising purposes to know, like, what kind of person you are and what potential products you might be looking for. It's like, basically, it sort of learns more information about you. And there is a concern for privacy in that aspect, but generally, like, cookies from a lot of websites that we visit are generally safe. But there is always that risk of a harmful cookie. But you generally, it's not something we should be concerned about, especially if you're already on a secure website.
So in a way, it's kind of like tracking you everywhere, kind of thing.
Not necessarily tracking you, but sort of tracking your preferences and tracking your profile. Yeah.
I see. And the thing is, I'm just worried about, because with the whole not really a tech thing, I'm kind of scared of this whole thing. Kind of paranoid, because I don't know how do we do all that. And I'm afraid of, being hacked and all. But we can talk about that in a bit.
So earlier we mentioned about, unsafe websites and all this like hacking stuff. So I want to ask, like, have any one of you guys actually experienced being hacked? You know, any of your social media accounts being hacked and things like that?
Yes.
What happened?
So my Facebook account, my old Facebook account was hacked, right? So then I saw people messaging me like, hey, well, why are you posting these videos?
Oh, no.
You know, why are you posting this? And I'm like, posting what? So I was in like many groups from like high school and all, then like some videos were posted and like it looked really bad on my part because I had no idea what was happening. And people thought I was just, disrupting and spreading fake news and this and that, right? So then when I saw the videos that were being posted, I got so scared. You know, I'm like, oh no, I got hacked, you know? So I deleted the Facebook account. I changed my passwords, but I was still worried. You know, I was just like, what else do they know? You know, what else happened? Yeah.
Because you have your personal information in it as well, right?
Yeah, my family, my friends, all my information. So I was really scared.
What about Benjamin? Have you experienced like any of your account being hacked? And that's same for Chloe as well. Have you experienced
me,
being hacked before? Yeah.
I've been fortunate to not have been hacked before. So, fingers crossed, it'll stay that way.
Mine is not exactly hacking, though. I'm not sure, because I remember on Instagram, this post, where they post, Ray-Bans for, $5 or $6 or something like that. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I know.
I don't know what happened, but my business account was hacked into, and then one of my customers actually messaged me and was like, your account's probably someone hacked into your account, because they posted the Ray-Bans for $5 or $6, and I was like, what?
So in a way, you've also experienced, account being hacked.
I guess so, but it's not as extreme, I had to change my passwords as well.
Okay, so Benjamin is the only person that hasn't
been
hacked about.
He's lucky.
I don't think I've been hacked before, I think. But that's because I'm not that famous, so which means Benjamin is also not so famous, which is why people don't get hacked, but you guys probably are famous.
Because,
the thing about it, right, is that, how there is a lot of news about celebrities and those big influencers where their iCloud storage are being hacked, having their private things being leaked, I don't know if I can say this, but James Charles situation
and other situations as well,
the whole, I don't know if I can say this, explicit images being leaked out. But the thing is, a lot of these big influencers, you can often see their accounts getting hacked more often than, normal citizens like me and Benjamin, for example, that's never been hacked. So actually, what makes, these people easily hackable? After what you guys have experienced?
Just to add on, even if you're a tech guy, you can still be hacked. For example, Mark Zuckerberg's account has been hacked on multiple occasions because he had simple passwords, as simple as ABC123, I think one reason why most people can be hacked is because when you show a lot of your personal information, if I know your birthday, I'm gonna try your birthday as a password. If I know all the personal information about you, I'll just try everything I know about you, just to guess your password or try to log into your own social media accounts. Another reason is that, carelessness. Some people are just pretty lazy or just too careless to put extra effort into their own passwords.
I see. So you're saying that you're lazy in putting your own passwords at times?
I was lazy.
But you know, there's just like on your laptop at least, they have like computer generated passwords, right? When you sign up for something, like as of recently, whenever I sign up for something, like for a website or like a newsletter, they would generate like a password for me on the browser that I use. So, but can we actually even trust our browsers to generate passwords for us?
The feature is good, but if you forget your password, are you gonna remember all that like random string of characters?
Nope.
Especially when you change browsers, you change phones, then it's like, what's your password? Then it'll say, try to type a password you remember. And the last three passwords of yours were just random alphanumeric text.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I personally never use it.
You personally never use it? I mean, true, right? Because a lot of the generating passwords are very complicated, like UX.
It's just random numbers and letters generated together. Yeah.
I mean, in a way, they just want to make sure that your account is safe. You know, they don't want you to be hacked. But because, you know, there's a lot of incidents about, like, you know, our socials being hacked. Even our laptop cameras, you know, like how there's this conspiracy revolving around... Wait, do you guys use Apple phones, like iPhones?
No.
It's only us. It's only us, Leanne.
No, I use an Android.
It's only us.
What do you guys use? Android?
You use Android, yeah. Android. Well,
Tony Usley
and Android.
Okay, is it because I know me and Chloe, because we both use iPhone, there's always like a conspiracy going on where Apple is actually, I don't know, accessing through your cameras and all. I don't know if it's true, like how easy it is for someone to hack into your cameras.
I think, like, in general, hacking is very, very difficult because there's a lot you have to know on the networking and security side. It's very difficult, right? Another thing is that one feature for, like, most Apple devices are that when you're using an application, it will show you this application is using your microphone, your camera, this and that. So that feature really helps you to tell, you know, if an application is spying on you, especially when it doesn't have your consent, you know. For Apple, I'm not sure about, like, that conspiracy. I mean, looking at the facts, could be true, likely false.
I have no idea. So it's just something that I've heard of, but for me, it's like, I have nothing to hide anyway. You're just going to look at my ugly face and then... Well, what are you going to do? You're just going to see me looking at my phone, scrolling around, just staring at the screen for
laughing at a TikTok or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, Apple recently have this like new feature. I think like there's ads everywhere about like the privacy thing. Because usually like you allow the app to track your location. And then as of recently, they started this, like, I'm not sure, because I've seen ads everywhere, like, in the past 2 weeks where they have this new privacy feature where you can disable and enable the setting, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, they don't use Apple, so for them, it's safe. I don't know about whether Android also has these similar issues, but do you guys have hacked before? Like, do you guys know how to hack? I don't know if this is like a bad information that can be spread around. So you guys have never done any hacking before, right? It's mostly on the programming and the coding stuff.
For me, I haven't.
For me, I'm in the process of learning how to hack. Like, there's this certification I'm doing, Certified Ethical Hacking. It's very... it's not very friendly, you know?
How is it not friendly?
You have to learn a lot of stuff. Like, imagine 2 years in degree, you're learning, now you're learning more and there's little application. So it's very theory heavy. Very, very theory heavy, yeah.
But the thing is, usually some organizations, like even though those huge government, they would sometimes hire hackers to try and hack into their organization's website or something, right? With the whole mm-hmm. database and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in a way, like they would get paid a lot, right?
Yeah, especially when it's a big company and they entrust you with like so much information. They trust that you'll be an ethical person, hack their system and tell them everything you find. So like those guys are called penetration testers or pen testers mm-hmm. for short. And they're usually very smart. And also they earn a lot of money, usually. Because hacking is not easy.
Yeah. I see there's a lot of... you mentioned about ethical hacking. Because I think what I learned from my communications course is there are different types of hackers, right? There is... the ethical hacking is also known as people who are white hackers, where they are get paid and everything. And then there's also black hackers, where they're... Uh-huh. I don't know if dark web or anything is considered a part of it, but black hackers is trying with the intention to harm you. And the gray is like a vigilante kind of thing.
Not really.
No,
for the gray hat hacker, it depends on them. Because it's a mix of bad and good. It's like, if there's a benefit for me, I'll do it for my own, you know, intention. Or maybe if I feel like I want to help someone else, I will do that for a good cause. So it's 50-50.
But what about like those vigilantes, like for example, Anonymous? Like, cause there's this incident where it was circulating around TikTok and also the media news where I think Anonymous somehow hacked into the Malaysia government and, but they hacked it and they somewhat tells the media that, you know, there's an issue with the government's database. You guys have to update it. It's not the intention to harm, but to kind of like, I don't know, fix it or stuff. What do you guys feel about this whole Anonymous community, the whole vigilante kind of thing?
For me, I feel a bit conflicted about it because, yes, in a lot of cases, especially when it comes to Anonymous, they do their hacking for good. But it's like the classic vigilante argument of nobody's gonna hold them accountable because they are people and people are flawed and they're not perfect. Who's to say one day they decide to do something that's not necessarily the best thing to do and nobody's there to hold them accountable and to stop them. So it's very difficult to fully put your trust on these people, and that's why white hackers exist, where you know who are the people you're hiring to hack the systems and to like tell you if there's stuff that needs fixing. So yeah, my opinion on it is mostly towards the bad side because I know it's like you can't really trust people you don't know, especially when they say they could be good, but another day they could decide they want to do something different and nobody can hold them accountable.
Yeah, it's like very tricky, honestly, because the person who's going to determine what to hack or when to hack is that specific group, if it benefits them or not. So it's very difficult to say, I'm going to hack this person to benefit this group, but at the same time, I'm illegally hacking, you know? I'm still breaking law, and it's really difficult to say two wrongs make a right, or if I do this, then it's right. It's really a conflicting argument.
Yeah.
I see. Because I think some people, like, you know how some vigilantes, they try to somehow like be a hero. They view these people as a hero because there are some, like maybe some victims, they receive an injustice from, I don't know, some cases or like leaked nudes. And some of these people, they feel like they have the need to bring justice to this person, even though they have no rights in doing so, something like that. which, like, even on YouTube, there's a lot of those kind of contents. I remember there's this one specific YouTuber called Lieutenant Lick Me. Sorry. that is an actual YouTuber name, I'm not gonna lie. But his contents are really interesting because in a way he's like, I don't know, hacking or... But he kind of try and serve, help the victims and just kind of bring punishment or suffering towards the bad people, something like that. But it's often... I don't know, some may say it's scripted, some may felt like it's over-exaggerated. Like, for example, how the movie portrayals they are in... For, like, hackers, like, for example, CIA, you know how people, they're really good with the whole...
I mean, everything in movies are usually exaggerated, you know?
Like, yeah. Do you guys have any thoughts about those kind of movie portrayals? Of, like, tech students that are very smart and they will, like, type a lot of things very fast and all.
Oh, man. Like, I think the first thing is that not all tech students are like introverts, you know, dark circles, they wear hoodies, and all they drink is coffee, they don't go to the gym, they're social outcasts,
I think a lot of it's also like them wearing glasses as well, right?
Yeah.
But then you both don't wear glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Mm. Okay, but so I am wearing a hoodie.
Yeah, he is wearing a hoodie.
But in conclusion, we should be aware of this whole tech surroundings, the do's and don'ts, like to protect your own privacy, just make sure you don't really overexpose yourself too much on the internet, right?
Especially like sharing your things, like sharing your own address. That one is a big one. Because
if I do online shopping,
I have no choice.
For online shopping, you have no choice.
But yeah, I feel like for those big e-commerce companies, you pretty much can trust them. Because if anything were to go wrong, like, a lot of people would be suing them, and that's bad for them as well.
Yeah, that's true.
True, because their faces are out in the public and all.
Yeah,
but as mentioned, right, the whole, this technology, it's expanding, you know, it's taking around all over the world. There's a lot of, like, even artificial intelligence, you know, they are being made to do, like, certain jobs and works at all. So, like, in your opinion, like, what kind of jobs do you think that would eventually get taken over by AI?
Oh, that's a very, very heated discussion and something that people have been talking about for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, and I think you see it a lot now, is like automation in a lot of blue-collar jobs, especially when it comes to factories. I like moving forward like 10, 15 years, it's going to be very easy for... And it's going to be easy, and like as time progresses, technology always... Like, certain technologies always get cheaper and cheaper when more people have access to it and more companies make it. So, like, in the near future, like, creating robots or creating fully automated factories might be more financially viable for a lot of these corporations, and eventually, like, they might replace a lot of hard labor workers and things like that. So, yeah, that's one thing I can see, like, AI and robots replacing, for sure.
I think for me, another aspect I see is like these very, you know how like there's some jobs that are very tedious. We have to repeat a certain task over and over and over, right? Like,
you mean like
for example,
accountant kind of thing,
calculating numbers.
Not to say the accountants would be jobless, but like, you know, calculating numbers, inputting data, things like that, right? Those boring jobs can be taken up by these like. By the future AI. Like, for example, imagine if you had to look for, like, copy 1,000 emails from one, like, point to another point, then send an email to all of them individually.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're going to need AI to be doing, like, jobs like that.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when AI can do it faster, more accurate, and no mistakes. So it's going to be these, like, small little boring jobs. they'll be they'll be automated in the future.
That's true. Because if we look at like those creative like field, it's really hard to, well, of course, like art, like drawing and music has theory, right? But I think recently I saw this robot. I'm not sure if it's Japan or somewhere in Europe. They actually created a robot artist where she draws and like paints stuff, and they put it in a museum to show everyone that, you know, a robot is creativity. But how far can a robot, you know, creativity expand compared to a human brain? Because all of us have different objectives and stuff like that with certain views, right? So it's quite interesting to actually see that there was a robot created to paint, because you don't see that every day. And they actually like put it in the museum, like her artwork and stuff like that. Yeah, so crazy.
I think it's the same as the whole Photoshop thing as well. Like people, like the AI actually did create certain like help softwares. People to edit kind of thing. Yeah, but in terms of like there, I think right now, right? I saw this video yesterday night where, I'm not sure who this guy is, but they actually created a Google Assistant where they where this assistant can help you to call like an actual place and help you do book an appointment. Like they actually called the actual salon, and they just have like a conversation and and all. I just find it really fascinating, but at the same time,
creepy.
At the same time, yeah, creepy. Cause I don't know. Cause AI is considered they have a mind of their own, right?
So to some extent, yeah.
In a sense, yes. So it's like, I don't know. There's a lot of like concepts where, like, you know, if you rely on AI too much, and then they develop their own mind, and then they kind of like take over humanity.
Too much movies. Too much movies, yes. Bro.
There's always. But yeah. With our current technology, that won't happen because, yeah, like what Nunu said, current AI doesn't have sentience. So how AI works is basically just a lot of maths and data. So you feed it a lot of data, like when it comes to like that Google Assistant, that's a lot of language processing. I think, is it neural networks, Nunu? Or something, I'm not too sure again. Natural language processing. And it's just basically a lot of maths, data, and calculation, where they predict what they're supposed to say based on the given information. So it's very unlikely for AI to gain a sentience of their own and start realizing, oh, I can take over humanity, because that's not really what they're built to do. They're built on a certain set of rules and algorithms.
But then so, I've seen like some videos about AI, because I think there's this one AI where it was supposed to learn different languages, and then I don't know how it started to create its own language.
I don't know.
Like, it was something that I've seen quite some time ago.
You know, the reason why like AI malfunctions is because of like a bad, how you say, it wasn't made or programmed well. It's the same thing as a child. You know, you're going to teach a child ABC, but then when the child is like not performing well, you don't blame the child. It's you for not teaching the child well. It's the same thing
that's
with AI.
True, that's
if you
true.
Don't give it the right data set, it's your fault for not giving it like the right data. That's why it'll malfunction.
I see. So like aside from the whole AI industry, just cyber tech in general, do you think that the students, like even now, the both of you, do you think it would be a huge hit in the future?
For me, I think yes, absolutely. Because like, if you look at the way the pandemic has changed things, you know, it's made IT more, just general technology more in demand, because they want to mitigate the problems of, you know, there's distance, different time zones, you can't go to work. So because of this pandemic, we need like more AI solutions. We need more like cybersecurity to protect, you know, this technology as well.
in general, it's really essential for everyone to actually have technology and basically the cyber tech and cybersecurity as well. It's really important.
Absolutely.
I kind of salute you guys. Like, for me, it's like I find it very difficult to know computer language. So like you guys have the passion to do this. Like even not only you guys are studying tech related stuff, but it's you guys are also in this tech club where you literally educate people about this whole technology thing. So like,
it's really great.
Really impressed.
We're both super impressed.
Yeah, like I'm sorry if we both sound a bit uneducated with all this tech. Like we might be one of those students that are very misconcepting. Also, like, oh my laptop has issues. Okay, you come, just help me fix this.
Pretty much, there's no worries because that's what we do. We want to share the knowledge that we have, and as much as we can, we want to learn from other people as well. And this is how we do it, by like communicating with others, like teaching people through our different workshops and events. And yeah, we find joy in doing the things we're doing, and that's why we're here as well.
And the thing is,
you like it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you always have to start somewhere, you know? You're never an expert. So
everyone starts.
I can't
somewhere.
Say you guys are uneducated. You're just starting off, you know?
Consider a newbie, maybe.
It's okay, yes. We learn. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure talking and actually gaining knowledge on a lot of things. I think Leanne can agree on that as well. Yeah, so I wanted to ask whether you guys want to add on anything, promote your club to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Your club, yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to, actually. So yeah, basically we are Sunway Tech Club. You can follow us on Instagram. That's like sort of our main mode of communication and where we post stuff at Sunway Tech Club. It's just our name, all lowercase. You'll be able to find us. And yeah, you can follow us and keep up on like pretty much any event that we have. We'll promote it there. And even, I'm not sure when this recording will come up, but We do have a lot of events planned for the near future, and we're very excited to share like our events with everyone. So yeah, do keep up with us, and we hope that you'll learn a lot from us as well, and hope that you enjoyed this recording as much as I think we all did. It's been pretty fun.
Yep, you guys heard them. If you guys are interested in any tech-related knowledge or you want to join in some of their events, you guys can check out their Instagram page, Sunway Tech Club. And that's all for today. Thank you guys for joining this talk with us, and thank you guys for listening to this episode. So be sure to follow our social media page and Facebook page, Sunway FM, and our YouTube as well. So I'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.